morning. Al's a part of our elders team here at Jericho Ridge. Al also works for the Canadian Conference in the area of stewardship ministries. And so his wonderful mugshot is on page 147. It pretty much looks like you. Even the striped shirt, actually. It's well done. Well done. So we're all coordinated. Well done. So no one should make any mistakes about who Al is and what he does. But Al's here as a resource for you as well. And so the contact info is available there on page 147. And so Al's going to be leading our teaching time this morning. And there's a handout in your Momentum Journal, which starts on page 29. And so just take that out now. And we'll move into our time of teaching together this morning. So, Al, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Good, thanks. Just leave that close by.
Okay.
Well, you know, I go around to a lot of churches on Sunday morning at different times, and thanks, Aaron. He's making my voice. He's going to work with my voice to make it sound really good. I go around to different churches and speak on Sunday mornings at different times. I just want you to know I feel really at home here this morning already. You've made me feel at home. A couple of things is if you don't have a momentum journal to follow, I have a handout of what I'm talking about at the booth over there, and there's also pens if you need a pen. And Pastor Keith says these are his favorite pens. And so if you want a pen, it has our information on there too. So go get yourself a pen if you want to make some notes. Also, as Pastor Brad mentioned, our ministry through the Canadian Conference is to provide a resource to you, and I'm available to meet with you individually as families, and I've got some cards over there. All of this is free of charge to anybody that needs to talk to somebody, wants a different opinion on what's happening in your life. We don't sell anything. We don't have anything to give you other than maybe some good advice and some insight into how God might what God might have for you to work things out. So just so you know that that's something that we do provide for you. And this is for, I mean, I travel throughout BC and do this with our Mennonite Brethren churches, so that's something that we offer. I want you to turn to somebody this morning and tell them three things. Somebody that doesn't know you very well, probably. Tell them where you were born. Tell them your favorite ice cream flavor, and tell them one thing you know about money. Okay, so turn to somebody that doesn't know you very well. Tell them where you were born, your favorite ice cream, and one thing you know about money. Okay, you got 20 more seconds. Make sure everybody has a turn. Okay, I have some questions for you now. First of all, how much control did you have over where you were born? None. How much control do you have over your favorite ice cream flavor? Quite a bit. How much control do you have over where your money goes? Lots. So what I want you to know, first of all, is that there are some things that we have no control over and we never will. And we might as well get used to that and get over it. There are some things that we have a lot of control over, and we better do a good job with that. And then there are things that we'll have varying degrees of control over as life goes on, and different things happen to us. So if we have a lot of control over where our money goes, how do we know if we're doing a good job on handling that? How do we know if we're doing a good job on that? And so one of the things that I'm going to talk about today is taking care of business. And one of the things that I want to encourage us is that how we manage our money is part of taking care of the business that we have. Or, you know, I think people get up in the morning or, you know, you get up and you think, I'm going to really make a mess of today. Or do you get up and think, I'm going to try to do a good job, or we just try to do a good job with what comes at us. And so part of it, what we're going to do is how do we find out or how do we know if we're doing a good job of taking care of business? And so that's what we're going to be talking about today and just seeing what that might look like so that we have an idea. What do we measure ourselves by? And so let's have a look at that this morning. And so first of all, if you look at what I've printed out here today or on page 29 in the book, in the Momentum Journal, is, first of all, who owns our stuff? Who's the owner? And so if we read, and the first passage there is from Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2, just listen to this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. He laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean's depths. Or if you go to the first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How much does that leave out? It's all his. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he created birds and bugs and snakes and trees and mountains. Were we on the picture yet as people? No, we hadn't even showed up yet. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we read that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were talking and said, let us create man in our own image. And the reason is they needed somebody to manage what they had just created. So, we are created to be managers, not owners. And we might as well get used to that. And the sooner we figure that out, the better we're going to be off in life as far as understanding how things work. In fact, we can all vote today that we're owners and we lose that vote. Because God said he's the owner and we're the managers. So to know the owner, so the first part there in A is that God owns and we manage. And if you get nothing else from today, but you get that, that's a big step in the right direction. Now, when I'm speaking here this morning, I'm assuming that you all have this all figured out and you have it all together. But you might know some people who don't. And so I'm expecting you to be able to talk to others about this because I won't be able to talk to all the people that you know. So I'm assuming that you've got this understanding, but I want to encourage you to help others understand this. So if we understand that God is the owner and then we're the managers, then what is the business that we're to take care of? And so we look at different things, and one of the things I want you to know is if there's an owner and a manager, both parties have a vested interest in how this turns out, right? If you're an owner, do you hire a manager that you know is going to make you go broke? Or if you're a manager in a store for a company, and there's something comes from headquarters and says, this is how we're going to do it. And you're going like, you know what? I think that sucks. I'm going to do it differently. Are you in for a promotion or are you looking for a new job? You're looking for a new job. So the idea is that there are some things that an owner has to do to make this successful, and there's things that a manager has to do to make this successful. But both parties have a vested interest in making this happen. So if God is the owner and we're the manager, where's the iffy part? Is there any iffiness about God doing his part? No. The iffy part is you and me. And so if we understand what the owner would like from us, it'd be reasonable for us to just go do that, and it'll work out. And so what does that look like? What is the business? And so when Jesus was on earth, he was trying to help people understand that, and he's still helping us understand that. And so we're going to read from Matthew chapter 25, and we have Ralph coming up to read that. I think he's going to. So Matthew chapter 25 is a story that Jesus said what it's going to be like. Yeah.
Matthew 25.
This word. Try that.
We'll try that. Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants and gave them money to invest for him while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of gold to one, 2 bags of gold to another, and 1 bag of gold to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of gold began immediately to invest the money and soon doubled it. The servant with 2 bags of gold also went right to work and doubled the money. But the servant who received 1 bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of gold said, "Sir, you gave me 5 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Next came the servant who had received the 2 bags of gold with the report, "Sir, you gave me 2 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of gold came and said, "Sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, you think I am a hard man, do you, harvesting crops I didn't plant and gathering crops I didn't cultivate? Well, you should at least have put my money into the bank so I could have some interest. Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of gold. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Well, thank you, Ralph. A couple of things I just want to point out from what we read. I mean, we can talk a long time about what this has all to say to us. But just a couple of things. Jesus is trying to help us understand what this is about. And so we're the servants. And so who was responsible for how much the servants had? Was it the servants or was it the master? The master. So when we look at knowing the business, it begins with what you have, not what you need or you think you need. Okay, sometimes people wish they were somebody else or wish you had something else. But if we look at this story, it says that the master is the one who has given you what you have. And sometimes we're so busy wishing we had something else, we miss that what we actually have been given. And so we're to look at, it begins with what we have, not what we need or what we think we need. Also, when it comes to the end of the story, which one of the servants would you wish to be? Would you wish to be called the useless servant, or would you wish to be called the one that is, "Well done, come on in and celebrate together"? I don't know if you've noticed, but throughout the Bible, if you've ever been called a fool or useless, it doesn't turn out that good for those people. And my desire is that it turns out well for us. So if that's the goal that we want to get to, is to be called good servants, "Well done, come on in and celebrate," I think one of the things we want to do is go back and start now so that it gets there and that we can be those kind of servants and to understand that it is Everything that we have has been given to us. So, knowing the business begins with what you have, not what you need or what you think you need. Taking care of business is not primarily about getting more. It's about using what we have wisely. And in the story, there was one servant who was given something and decided that not, you know, that servant could have said, well, you know, because somebody else got more than me, I'm not going to use this. But it wasn't that that created a problem for that servant. The servant said, you know what? I'm scared of the master. I'm not going to do anything with this. And that didn't turn out that good for him. So we need to work and understand what it is that we have and use that. When Jesus talks about taking care of business, he focused on how individuals managed what they have. Sometimes people talk to me and say, you know, Al, if I had what so-and-so had, you know what I would do? And I tell them, Jesus will never ask you that question. Jesus will never ask you, what would you have done with somebody else's stuff? What will he ask you? What have you done with what I've given you? It doesn't matter if it's more or less than somebody else. That's not the point. The point is, what are you going to do with what I've given you? That's what Jesus is going to ask. But I must tell you, it's easier to be responsible for somebody else's stuff, isn't it? Like, it's easier to think and be like, you know, they should be doing that. Because it takes the pressure off of us. But the idea is that we want to look and be responsible for that. So I'm not sure what God has all given each of you. But I know for sure there's four things at least. And I'm going there, and you know, they just all start with the letter T. Isn't that amazing? But there's four things I know that all of us have. There's probably more things that we all have in common, but at least four that I want you to think about this morning. The first thing that we all have is the truth. Or as we if we understand what Jesus has done for us, and that there's salvation through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life, that's the truth that is for everybody in the world. And how are we doing managing that truth? How are we taking care of that, what God has given us? Individually and as a church, Jericho Ridge has to be accountable for that too. How do we handle that? The second thing that we all have is time. We all have 168 hours every week, no more and no less. How many wish for more time? It's not happening, folks. Get used to it. And we're learning to live with it, aren't we? More or less. How are we managing the 168 hours in a week? If you want to do something that's really not that much fun, is keep track of how you spend all those hours for a week. It really is pathetic, but maybe you'll be happy. I don't like doing that. But it's something that might be good to do. The third thing that we all have is talent. When you are born, when you're created, God has wired each one of us a certain way for us to be somebody. Now, I don't know why, but nobody has ever asked me to sing at their wedding. I just don't understand that. Or nobody has asked me to be a graphic designer for their company's logo. I'm just not wired for that. There are people who are, and we get to have those people. Somehow, I like to work with numbers and work things out, and so that's where I'm at. But we all have talent. And then as we become Christians, we are told that we've been given spiritual gifts to build up God's kingdom. How are you doing with the talent and the gifts that God has given you? How does that look? He might ask us someday, what are you doing with that? No, he will ask us. He will. And the fourth thing that we all have is treasure. Things that are important to us, our relationships, our family, friends. And money is part of our treasure. So those are at least four things that I know all of us have. And so those are some of the things that God is going to be looking to us and saying, how have you managed that? So the question that I have, and for all of us, is if we are not being faithful with what we already have, should we expect God to bless us with more? People say, you know, I just need a little bit more. I wish I had more. Or churches pray for God to have, you know, let's give us more of something, but they're not faithful to what they already have. Why would God give us more? And so part of what we want to be as managers, doing a good job, is taking care of the things that we already have and seeing how God will take care of us with what he wants to give us. Because in this story, when people were faithful with what they had, then the owner decided to give them more. So that's where that comes from, is the more that comes from the owner, not from us trying to work hard to get more. Our job is to be faithful with what we have. So then if we know the owner, who's the owner? God owns. And who's the manager? You and me. And we're starting to know some of the business is we need to take care of what we have. Okay, so those are the first couple of things. Now, what are some of the opportunities that we have with what God has given us? And so Kim is going to read in 2 Corinthians. The church at the beginning of when the church started out was asking many of the same questions. What do we do? And so Paul was trying to help them understand, and for us it's the same today. So thanks.
Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have enough. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God.
Thanks, Kim. So the question that the people in the church at Corinth had is, how do we give? What does that look like? And, you know, as it will be when there's humans around, there's going to be pressure to give sometimes. There's going to be a sense of reluctance on people that, you know, God says, don't bother, I don't want that. God says, well, he wants us to understand that we are the recipients of his generosity. The fact of what we have, the fact that we are here and what we all can enjoy, that's his generosity. The Bible tells us when we weren't even interested, he sent Jesus to be our salvation. He wants us to understand that and to be thankful for that and to give out of that sense of thankfulness. And so, if you're giving reluctantly under pressure, you can stop. And, you know, God really doesn't need our stuff and our money. Like, he's going to get it done. But he's inviting us to participate in what he's already doing joyfully. And if we can understand that and learn that, it's going to make a big difference in our lives as how we are living with each other, living with ourselves. And so, what are some of the opportunities? Well, we need to look for ways today in which you can build into God's work. What is God doing? You can look for ways to build into that with your time, your talent, your treasure. Those are some of the things that God asks us. And so when it comes to how much or how do you give money or how do you do that, well, I would say you need to set up a system that works for you. And that's not the same for everybody. And so I've come up with four things that start with the letter P. It's amazing how that works. These four things are a mixture of what God has for us as managers and a little bit about how do we manage that as humans, okay? So the first P is giving needs to be a priority. Throughout Scripture and in the Old Testament, it says give first to God and other things will be added to you. In Proverbs, it talks about the first fruits. So the idea is that whatever we have comes from God, and we want to say, thank you, God. And so one of the things that God says to us to being a good manager is recognizing where our stuff comes from, our life, our time, our talent. But when you have money coming in. And if, like in the Old Testament, it talks about the first fruits of your crop. So if they had, you know, a good crop of wheat or whatever they're planting, you know, the farmer can plant, can fertilize, water, do everything. But if God does not let that seed die and sprout up, that farmer is going hungry, right? Like the farmer cannot make it grow. That they have to depend on God. On the other hand, if God wanted to grow a crop of wheat right here this morning without me doing a thing, could he do it? Is he dependent on me? No. When the children of Israel were walking through the desert for 40 years, they got manna every morning from God as God's gift. And all they did is whine and complain. But that's another story. So the fact is, God does not need our stuff. He wants us to understand that to be involved in what he's doing cheerfully without being reluctant is something that he wants to build in us, and to understand that we are his managers. And for us to say, or for us to hear him say, good job, he says, that's one of the things. Make it a priority. And Paul says, make it a plan. Like, think, that's still the first P, priority and plan. Decide how much you're going to give. It means that there's some planning involved. And, it's not like coming to church and saying, well, what's left in here and see what happens. There's something that you need to think about if you're going to be a manager. The second P, I would say, is it should be, like, for us as people, a percentage of what we're getting in to sort of we have an idea. I think for most people that helps us. Percentage is not a biblical amount. I grew up in the church, and I somehow heard two things. The more money you give, the more God will like you, somehow. I don't know if I heard that or if I just thought that's what I heard, but somehow that's what I grew up with. The more you give, the more God will like you. And the second thing I heard was, you know, it's got to be at least 10% or more. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad, but I'm just saying there's a problem with just saying it has to be 10%. Because there are people in different stages of life where 10% isn't a reality. So I have had people, I was pastoring in a church where people were giving less than 10% and feeling guilty. And I'm going, oh my goodness, that's not what God has in mind. So if as people go through life and different stages and people give what they can cheerfully, and say, God, you know, this is what I can give cheerfully, and with your help, we're going to work this to wherever you want to take it. That's fine. And then there's other people like me who want to make sure that God likes them, so I'm going to give 10.67% just to make sure that I'm over the line and that God's going to be happy with me. And then God wants to talk to me and says, you know, Al, I'm expecting 37% from you because I've given you so much, and I can't even hear God, because I'm so happy with 10.6%. So that's the problem with percentages. But I do say that 10% is probably not a bad place to shoot for or start from or whatever, just from a human perspective. But there's the idea of giving cheerfully and with intention. The fourth P is just what I related to a little bit, or the third P, pardon me. The third P is progressive. And that's where, if you start somewhere and you're saying, okay, God, we're going to work on this together. Where can I give cheerfully from my time, my talent, my treasure? And let's see where this thing goes. Like, don't put a lid on it and say, now I've arrived and God should be happy with me. God's working on me on that one about being progressive and how that looks. And then the fourth one is prompted. So even if you've planned and you've got a percentage figured out and that all works, every once in a while, there'll be something where either my wife or I will, you know what? That's something that we should support. That prompted thing that along the way that doesn't fit into anything that you thought about, but God has something there for you to be a part of, whether it's with your time or your talent or your treasure. A prompted giving. So that's one of the things. Those are some business opportunities that we have in taking care of business. The other thing is we need to look for ways today that we can build into our families. In Timothy, we read that those who don't take care of their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. sometimes people want to just, you know, at the expense of everything else, try to do what God wants them to do. Well, God wants you to look after your family. That's one of the things that God wants us to do as good managers. Look after our families, be as, you know, as much as possible, be the good influence as we can. So as you can tell, I am just, you know, touching on a few things here, but, you know, if we want to act correctly, we need to start to think correctly and to sort of think through some of these things. And so those are some of the things that I just want you to think about, talk about. Now, there are some things that kill generosity. Okay, after all I've said this morning, and you might be encouraged to do certain things, a couple of things that kill generosity. One is fear. One is, what if I give this and I don't have enough for myself? Well, then we got to go back to the first point. Who's the owner? And who's the manager? Who's responsible for us, really? God has a vested interest in the success of this relationship. And so we need to work through that will God take care of me? And how does that look? And that's a journey there, you know, that we can talk to, we can encourage each other. We need to tell stories about God's faithfulness. In this room here, sitting in these chairs, if we took some time, I'm sure we could have stories after story of people experiencing God's faithfulness in their lives. So we need to go back and retell those stories and say, you know, is God trustworthy? But fear is one of the things that we need to think about as far as being generous. Another thing that kills generosity is debt. You can be as excited as you want about being generous and sharing, and if you are carrying a lot of debt, you actually are beholding to those people to pay that back. And so one of the things that we did this last Wednesday, we had Mary Hunt here at Jericho Ridge. Some of the things that I'm offering is to try to help people think through that. While debt in itself is not a sin, it's warned about that it does create problems. And, you know, and again, I'm sure none of you know this, but you might know people who are involved in having a lot of debt and the problems that causes. So again, if you want somebody to talk to or to just listen and think through things, I'm available. Other people are available. And again, for us, there's no charge for what we do to coming to people. Another thing that stops debt, and the word that I'm using is called duplicity, okay? Double standard. And this is for anybody that's in leadership or if you have influence over your family or you're involved in a ministry or whatever. If leadership doesn't act with integrity, it kills generosity. And I think we've seen that in a number of situations where people in leadership or the church has done something and people have been hurt. And so that's just a challenge to people in leadership, that if we're interested in having and growing a culture of generosity and a mindset of generosity around us, then duplicity stops and kills generosity very, very quickly. So at the bottom there, it says, God is looking for progress, not perfection. If he's looking for perfection, he ain't getting it from us, is he? Anybody got any ideas that we're going to be perfect? No. But he's looking for progress. How are we growing? And so on the back of this sheet, and also on the next page in your journal, there's a little chart. And the chart is, what does it look like if we're going to be mature in the area of our understanding of generosity? And it starts off with sort of an infant view, an adolescent view, and a mature adult view from a biblical perspective. Like to be a manager that God says, well done. So the purpose of this is not to make you feel bad like, oh man, I'm only on one over here and I'm four over here on infant. That's not the point of this. Sometimes we don't even know where we can grow towards. What does it look like to be mature in these areas? Where can I grow towards? Where can I learn? And so this is part of what this is about, is as you talk about it, if you look at it with yourself, or if you're in a small group or talking with people, what you want to do is sort of see, where am I on this scale? And how does that look? And where, and again, remember, as God being the owner, he has a vested interest that we move along towards the right-hand side. And he's interested in you being there. Where's the iffy part? In God's part or our part? The iffy part of what we move is us. God will help us get here. That's what he wants. And I just can't say enough that really that's where joy is as you move along that, as you understand that. And I have to tell you, because my wife's here, that I haven't got this all perfect. No, even if she wasn't here, I would tell you that. But I've somehow been given the responsibility to talk about these things, and I have great joy in doing it because I think it's what God has for us. A couple of things to finish off here this morning. In the Bible, there's a story about Jesus was speaking, and he was pretty popular. And there were 5,000 men plus women and children one time listening to him. And it must have been an all-day seminar, because at the end it says this, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Let's send all these people home because it's supper time." And Jesus said, "Well, what have you got?" Well, he says, "Why don't you feed them?" And they're saying, "That would take 8 months' worth of wages. We're not doing that. Like right now, we're not doing that." So he says, "What have you got?" So they went and found that they had a boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, they brought it to Jesus, and Jesus prayed over it, and they handed it out, and there was more leftovers than they started with. So my question is, did that mom of that little boy make the lunch that day saying, "I wonder if Jesus is going to do something really amazing with this lunch today"? Do you think the boy negotiated with Jesus and said, "Well, how much are you going to feed with my lunch? Like, if you're feeding 150 people, maybe I'll give it. But if you're only sticking with 10, I'm going to keep it." No, he just gave what he had. And the boy had just as much to eat, whether he had given it to Jesus or not, right? If he had kept it, he would have been full. He gave it to Jesus. Everybody got full, and so did he. Sometimes you think Jesus is asking us to give stuff and we're going to be left out. That's not the story, folks. Do you have any idea what God wants to do through you as you're faithful? Does Jericho Ridge, do we have any idea what God wants to do through us as we're faithful? Like, we might not think we have a lot, and we probably don't. But whatever we have, we're not the ones that are setting what's going to happen with this. And so I just want to encourage you that give it a shot. Walk this way and talk to people about it. Encourage one another. And we're going to end off with a video. This is a true story. And the people that are in the video are the people that actually were involved. It's not actors reproducing a story. These are the actual people that are involved with it. And it's talking about their journey in some of this. And they will mention something called Dave Ramsey. So I don't know if you heard that. Dave Ramsey is also on the radio, and he has a way for people to sort of walk through financial stuff. So that's just what they're referring to, that their church offered that, and they were following through on that. And so I just want to have you watch this, and then whoever wants to finish it off, okay. Thanks.
You know how sometimes it feels like life just happens? You know, just random things seem to fill your day. Things with little or no consequence to anyone else. I mean, I know God's in control of my life, but I never really saw how much he was weaving my story with other people's stories, and really, into his story. Well, that's all changed. It was a cold day, the kind where you really don't want to have some long conversation outside with someone, especially with someone you don't really know. But that's exactly what God had in mind. Amy and I had just eaten lunch at Dumplin's downtown Franklin, and we were walking to the car and we see this couple that I thought I recognized from church. It would have been awkward just to walk by him and not say anything, so we stopped and said hey and did the whole, yeah, you guys go to fellowship thing, whatever. Well, we start talking and the whole Dave Ramsey thing comes up. They asked us where we were in the process, and I told them that so far we paid off $60,000 but still had $10,000 left to go. They asked us what we would do when we were debt-free, and I laughed and told him, well, I told my kids I'd buy them a trampoline, but we really wanted to adopt, and we committed to being debt-free before we did. The whole conversation only lasted about 3 minutes. It was like, nice to meet you. That was random. Well, the next day, that random person shows up at my office with this brand new trampoline. I couldn't believe it. It was like, my kids are gonna freak. I set it up that night, and my kids jumped on that thing for 4 hours. I mean, we didn't even know these people. They didn't have to do that. I mean, really, that's pretty generous. Well, the next day, I get an email from the same lady saying, oh, you guys seem like a sharp couple, and we'd love to come by and talk to you about something. I emailed her back and said, that sounds like a multi-level marketing proposal, and if it was, we really weren't interested. Of course, she says it's not that sort of deal, but she was really persistent. She even called Amy. Amy had been sick, and it really wasn't a great time to have company over. Our house is a wreck, and we didn't feel like picking it up. We said everything short of, please don't come over to my house. So they show up, and I'm like, here we go. Let's get this over with. Don't say yes to anything. I couldn't believe they sunk their claws into us with that trampoline to get us involved in some pyramid scheme. Anyway, so we small talked for about 5 minutes, and then right when I thought they were about to drop the bomb, they did. But it wasn't the bomb I was expecting. So the lady says, well, we told you we'd only be a few minutes, and I really don't know how to say this, but we want to pay off your $10,000 left in debt so you guys can adopt. She pulls out her checkbook and goes, how do you spell your guys' names? What? Are you kidding me? Are you for real? I mean, who does that? Who writes somebody a check for $10,000 and gives it to people they don't even know? So they give us a check and they said, just don't act weird around the church and just don't tell anybody it was us. And they drove off. I mean, Amy and I stood there for 10 minutes in total shock. And we cried and we screamed and we ran all over the yard and the house. Unbelievable. I mean, seriously, it was beyond belief. We realized 9 months later when we brought Malaya home, the check they wrote us was dated 9 months prior to Malaya's due date. They gave us that money right about the time our daughter was conceived. It was like God was saying, I have a baby out there for you right now. I'm not waiting around another 2 years for you to pay off that debt. We felt called to adopt, but we simply couldn't afford to do it on our own. We found that this random couple had already adopted 4 children and felt a calling to continue to serve through adoption. Rather than bringing more children into their home, they decided to help others adopt. It didn't just happen. It wasn't random at all. God knew his plan. He had just invited us to walk with him through this process. He was weaving our callings, our stories together, for us to love and to care for each other.
Well, that's just about at the end. So we just want to say that we're here as a church family to help you and to walk with you through this process. And so our series that we've begun today will continue to talk about those various aspects, those T components that Al talked about this morning. And so if there's any way in which Al or our team here at Jericho can serve you in that way, we would love to do that and to celebrate with you in God's faithfulness. So there's some of the books that Mary brought on Wednesday, and those are available just at the Welcome Center. If you weren't able to be here and you want to do a little bit more learning and growing in that area, you can talk to somebody who was here or get a copy of the book. You can follow up with Al in some way. And we'd also just love to continue to dialogue with you and hear your stories about what God is doing as we begin this journey together and continue about growing in faithfulness as being stewards of what God has called us to do. So let's pray together. God, we want to say thank you for the richness of your generosity to us. Thank you how that was just so clearly exemplified for us in that story of that couple and that family. And God, we pray that you would gift us with the abilities to be wise with the things that you've entrusted us with, to be found faithful as managers, to be ones that walk in obedience to you in the way in which we think, in the way in which we live. And so, God, we pray you would continue to speak to us about those things. And if there's anything that you call us to do, we say as individuals and as a church family, we will be obedient to you, Father, to walk in that. And so we go from this place with that as our spirit of intent and action. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, we pray. We say, amen. Amen. Well, our prayer team will be available. If you want to talk with them about anything, celebrate with them about anything. We have two stations that are available, and Dave and Jackie will be at one, and Arnie and Judy will be at the other. And so if you want to spend just some time before you head out from this place praying with them, asking any questions that you have of them, then make your way over to the tables at this time. If you want to talk to Michelle about anything, get any more information about Jericho, if you're new or visiting with us, we'd love to get to know you more. So God bless you as you go. And we'll see you again throughout the course of the week as you're walking in faithfulness as good managers of what God's given you.